At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Is Mother's Day the biggest letdown holiday of the year? Oh, it sounds so awful to say it out loud, but Raven, it was like nothing I'd ever experienced before this year.
What happened?
You know, I had a lovely Mother's Day. Did I completely lose my mind on my five-year-old and almost cancel all our plans at 11 o'clock in the morning because she was out of control? Yes, that happened.
Oh, well, you know.
But, you know, that goes with the territory of having a five-year-old.
Right.
But I received so many text messages from friends who were sad, who were upset, who felt like they weren't respected on Mother's Day. Their kids didn't make a big enough deal. Their husbands paid no attention and didn't plan anything. I just ran into one of our coworkers in the hall, and she was telling me how her kids, they're teenagers, they had other plans, like to go see their friends, but all they did was they showed up to make her nachos at 6 o'clock, stayed for 30 minutes and then left. And she's like, I don't even like nachos.
Oh,
like they made nachos for themselves, basically hung around and then everybody went their own way. And she was like, it really upset me because I feel like they didn't care. They don't care about me.
Yeah.
And I feel like that was a reoccurring theme this year.
Well, one of the things that I've seen a lot, and I saw a lot of this on social, was when is Mother's Day no longer for you? When is it for just you too, right? So what you have is a lot of, you know, adults basically of our age where you're still taking care of your mom on Mother's Day, right? You're still doing things for other family members, your grandmother or whatever on Mother's Day. And I saw something, this girl was talking about it. She's like, Mother's Day isn't for grandmothers. And she was catching a lot of heat about it. And I'm not saying she's right or wrong, but she's like, it's not for grandmothers. It's not for great grandmothers. It's not for your mother. If you live outside of the house, if you have grown children, she's like, it's not even necessarily for you. But if you are an active mother where you are taking care of your kids every day, making sure they get up, whether that's high school level or infants or whatever, Mother's Day is supposed to be for you. And yet you end up working it.
Yeah. I mean, I understand all of that. I'm kind of in a unique situation because, you know, my mother has to work all day because they're restaurant people.
Right.
But otherwise, it's just me. My grandmothers are gone. My mother-in-law is gone.
Mm-hmm.
So they just they spoil me. And I have a great husband who makes sure that my kids spoil me. So for the most part, I do what I want and I have a lovely day. And he asks me what I want to do. And I've learned to tell him so that it ends up being everything I want it to be.
Right.
But I was just surprised by how many people were in mourning or sad about something. And I was like, is Mother's Day the biggest letdown? Because my girlfriend that you saw in the hall, my coworker, she said, I think Mother's Day should be like taken off the calendar. She's like, I don't know one mom who had a happy Mother's Day. And I'm like, that seems like a step too far.
Certain holidays never measure up, right? I mean, I've told you this before about New Year's Eve. I feel like it's never measured up. I had a couple great New Year's Eves when I was younger.
Yeah.
And it's just too much pressure nowadays. Valentine's Day is really, really, really tough.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult. You can't get it right. The reservations are terrible. The restaurant stinks or whatever. There's a million different variables there too.
I mean, what happened? Remember when holidays were celebrations? What happened to us?
Maybe we expect too much nowadays.
Maybe that's what the problem is. Is it normal or not to just take a giant spoonful of peanut butter and eat it out of the jar? And is it only a boy thing? Raven, producer John, producer Sean, after the show yesterday, Sean was talking about how you do this, right?
Yeah, it's like just eating peanut butter as is like a snack to me.
Okay, and then Raven, you agreed.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've done it so much to the point where, honestly, I think it's skewed my blood work and that I had to, like, pull off of it. Like, I think I had an addiction to it because I would come home and I would eat, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 spoonfuls every day.
It's so good.
And then maybe sometimes I would take a little bit of jelly or jam with it, too. It's like having a sandwich in your mouth that you didn't have to pull out the bread for, which I would rationalize to myself was healthier. And then, of course, every day my dog gets a lick of the spoon as well. So.
Ew.
Normal or nope, that's what I've been doing for a long time. I had to pull it back because my doctor was like, you need to stop eating fried foods. And I was like, I don't eat any fried foods. My saturated fats are out of whack. I looked at the back of the peanut butter one day. No, John, here's the thing. If you eat as much as I was eating, it could skew the numbers.
I don't know if that's normal.
And I pulled back for a couple weeks. I'm not sure if it's enough to get the numbers down. I got to be honest.
Speaking of normal or nope, I think it's funny that you let your dog lick the same spoon.
Oh, yeah. Well, when I'm done with it.
No, it's disgusting.
No, it's not disgusting. It goes in the dishwasher after. Who cares?
No, you keep using it after. Come on.
No. No.
Come on.
No.
Come
no.
on.
I don't share utensils with my dog.
No, absolutely not. No, Barkley's welcome to anything that I have. That's for sure.
There's certainly things you do in the kitchen like when nobody's watching and you wonder, is it normal or nope, not at all?
Hmm.
Like I realized the other day that unless it's a dinner with my family, I never sit down when I'm eating in my home. Never. Like, I'll always stand and eat. I never will sit down by myself and eat something.
Listen, if you got an island, you got a nice window to look out or whatever, why would you? Yeah. Where do you need to go?
It is normal, right?
Central, it all right here. That's fine. No, I'll take that. That's normal.
Yeah, no, I definitely get that. Here's the thing. Like, I'm usually a pretty calm person walking around my house, like with my kid. If he makes a mess, I'm not that worried about it. He wants to eat on the couch. I'm really not that worried about it. If I am in the kitchen, I will lose my absolute mind on anybody or anything that gets in my way of doing whatever I'm doing in that kitchen,
wow.
Especially if it's cooking. I have a hairpin, like, trigger of a temper when I am cooking in the kitchen. Is that normal or no?
That's not normal.
I mean, a little bit. I mean, I can see like my husband when he gets in my way, I get annoyed. But I don't know if I would get freaked out like that.
Everybody feels like they have ownership over their kitchen.
I think it's normal. Rachel often gets mad at me if she's cooking. I'm like, what can I do to help? She's like, you could help by getting out and going in the living room.
If I open up a rack of saltines and finish that entire rack of saltines with the sliced pepperoni, is that normal
that's
or no?
Normal.
Yeah, that's normal.
100%. Yeah. No. You don't like when they put the servings for the saltines. That's just a suggestion for nobody because everybody eats the entire rack. You start and then you just keep going.
It's like a
until
challenge.
It's done. Right.
Yeah. It's like a challenge. Mm-hmm. If I pour and eat a bowl of cereal that is equivalent to half the box while standing in the kitchen. Is that normal or no?
I think it's normal.
Completely normal. Yeah.
What if I take that same bowl of cereal and I eat the entire thing dry, just taking it like peanuts at the bar, just taking little bits of it out of the bowl at a time?
That's the only way my 5-year-old will eat cereal is without milk, which is it's maddening to me because basically now she's just eating a bowl of candy.
If you smash ramen and then put the spices in it in a bowl, but don't actually ever add water and eat it like that, is that normal or
no?
No.
That's disgusting.
That's terrible for the roof of your mouth.
It's just gross. Yeah. Gross.
You got to be tougher than that.
You need help.
Stabbing your gums.
That's all. You toughen up the top of your mouth, John. Who's afraid of little
old me? You should be. It's coming. It's going to cost $1 billion to get a seat. You're going to have to wait 6 years to see it. And I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it.
You should probably just book tickets right now to go see it like in Australia or something like that. Save yourself some money.
No, it's going to be on Broadway. So here's what's happening. Taylor Swift has filed paperwork to trademark Female Rage, the musical.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm jumping 27 steps ahead. So what this means is she laid out everything that she wants to do with the term. It includes turning it into musical recordings, video recordings. It's going to be a whole bunch of potential merchandise. But I have been
saying...
It's
almost like a rock opera.
Yeah. But I've been saying forever, it is only a matter of time before she creates a Broadway musical. It like a Hamilton, where it's got so much hype behind it. It's songs from her album telling a story. Mm-hmm. And if you're a super Swiftie, you kind of know that she makes up these characters. And if you listen to like the love triangle in these characters, you're like, this is a Broadway play.
Yes.
This is a musical.
This is something that Anna was. So I want you to imagine that the room here where Anna is explaining this to five guys. All right. And she was doing this 2-3 months ago with the teasers, with the album, with the Poets Society. Like Anna knew that the album was coming before anybody else really knew for sure that the album was coming. I mean, the Swifties knew. Some Swifties knew.
Yes.
But you were reading the tea leaves and doing all the triangulations. It's the most math I've ever seen Anna do in her entire life.
I'm a Swiftie.
And she brought together these plans, and she did so in such a way that, I mean, the five of us were bowled over with it. But, I mean, I got the interpretation of what you were saying.
Right.
And you called it.
Now, who knows if this is going to happen soon, if it's going to happen a long time
from now.
It's
going to happen at some point, though.
It could have been that she just trademarked it because she said that, Female Rage the Musical, in one of her captions on Instagram. And now people are making T-shirts. So maybe she's doing that preemptively to stop all the people from stealing her stuff and trying to monopolize off it and monetize.
Yeah, but she hardly ever leaves anything out there just hanging. So now I think that this... You know, even if that was not the intent or the name or whatever, it's going to be part of it. And, you were right. She had a plan for this.
Yeah, and she always has a plan. So anyway, I don't know when it'll come out, but I know we'll never be able to get tickets. Still, like, I've never seen Hamilton. It'll probably be the biggest thing on Broadway. But you heard it here first. We'll see what happens. But also trending along with Taylor Swift, Taylor Swift baby.
Oh, yeah.
And no, she's not pregnant. but you should see your faces. It's an inside joke.
Okay.
It's an inside joke for the Swifties.
Is that right?
Raven. Anyway, at one of the Paris shows, you know, at a lot of the European shows, there's no seats in the pit. So you have to stand. It's general admission. And in the first show, somebody posted a picture of a baby lying on the floor. Like, they had pit tickets with their baby.
I mean, that doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
And it's ignited a firestorm of, like,
what, when that baby gets danced on?
Right.
Yeah.
And also, like, what age do you bring children to
poor
the
little
concert?
Ears. Yeah.
I know I've gotten a lot of slack lately because we're going to Italy to see Taylor this summer.
Yeah.
And Dakota is going to stay at the hotel with my husband.
Absolutely.
She's 5 years
she's
old.
She's 5 years old. She doesn't need to be in a concert full of like 60,000 people with a general admission floor.
So Hayden, my older daughter, my 15-year-old, obviously we're going for her. You know, like we're doing that. But I'm not taking the little one. And they're like, how can you bring one and not the other? And I'm like, because she's a child.
Yeah, and she's not going to remember anyway. So, you know, people are like, oh, I remember when I was five. No, you don't.
So what do you think is the right age to start bringing kids to concerts? Because then I feel a little bit like a hypocrite because I definitely brought Hayden to her first Taylor Swift concert when she was six.
I mean, yeah, but you had hands on her. It wasn't general admission or
and
whatever.
And it wasn't the hype like it was now.
I think it makes a difference if it's a lawn, you know, because again, there's going to be a massive amount of people. I think that a regular concert venue, 8, 9, 10 years old, and you got to keep a hand on her the entire time.
Absolutely. Is it normal for people to rearrange their furniture all the time? It all started when we were talking about this last week. All right, Mary, what's the strange thing you do with your spouse?
I like to rearrange the furniture and see what it looks like differently all the time. And it's not his favorite thing, but we do it. And he always tells me that nobody else does that.
And how often are you doing this?
Maybe seasonally, you know, like when you change with the seasons, the holidays and stuff like that.
So Raven and I were very confused because we had never, ever in our life thought, like, once the furniture is set, like, that's how it is forever, right?
Yeah, like, I mean, I feel like my grandmother did it, like, maybe a couple times over her lifetime. You know, spans of decades, really, that took place there. But I don't know, maybe I'm nuts.
Then we got another call right after that said this.
I rearrange the furniture all the time.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
When my kids were younger, I would rearrange the furniture, and I said, "Didn't you notice?" And they said, "Ma, you do it so often that it looks the same."
Yeah. Huh. They don't even remark about it anymore, right?
Interesting.
You should try it, Anna.
No. It took me enough time to figure out where to put it in the first place. Seriously. Hmm. Like, I needed help from, like, my friends. I had to have a stager come in. Like, I didn't know what I was doing when I set my new house up, and I never want to rearrange my furniture.
You know how many times we measured in between our front bay windows and, you know, that distance there, and then went to different furniture stores until we found the sectional that we're like, oh, wait a minute. It fits perfectly. This is the one. Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, it's quite an undertaking.
Yeah, I feel like putting the furniture in a room is such a delicate art because you have to be able to see the TV, have the proper walking space, have it open and feng shui and all that stuff. I had, when I was a realtor a long time ago, I remember we had just signed a binder on a property and I was the realtor, I was a selling realtor.
Mm-hmm.
And the person came back, the person buying the condo, 3 days later with their feng shui master, which I thought was
insane at the time.
Make believe.
Right.
I was like, what? They're like, they want their feng shui master.
Yeah.
Do you know that the feng shui master killed the deal? Because they said the energy
was wrong.
It wasn't going to work. And I was like, what are you talking about? This place was just renovated. It's lovely.
I still don't understand the concept of exactly how it works, but I know that when I walk into a room that's been laid out that way, it is quite pleasant. I do know that. So I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm so boring at this point. Like, we have furniture. Even when we're getting rid of furniture we don't love, like, I'll measure the general size of that furniture because I'm like, well, it's got to fit in basically the same spot. That doesn't make any sense.
I have this one room in my new home that's, we call it the weirdo room because it's so rectangular that it doesn't make sense for anything.
What can you put in there?
Oh my gosh, I lost sleep. Now that it's set up, I will never move a piece of furniture in that room.
That's because it was
again.
Such a challenge.
Yeah. Five calls says it all. 1-800-330-9999. We think this is nuts, but people have been changing their furniture seasonally, like redecorating. Do you do it?
I couldn't rearrange my stuff. There'd be nowhere to put that couch.
Greg, is it weird to move the furniture in your house?
Yeah, actually, it really is. Because if you're, like, constantly rearranging that furniture, like, every few months, then, like, you're just dealing with a crisis at that point. Like, no amount of rearranging is going to fix whatever's going on in your head.
Well,
I mean, I got to be honest with you. It's kind of cut and dry. I'm not saying he's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, if I came over to my friend's house, first impression, I might agree with you.
Shannon, Five Calls says it all. Do you think it's strange to constantly rearrange the furniture in your home?
I don't know. Like, before COVID hit and we went through the pandemic, I would say that was obsessively unnecessary. But after looking at the same four walls every day straight for like 2 months, yeah, I need a little change of something, you know, a little razzle dazzle.
It's definitely different when you're locked in the place.
Well, that's, I feel like we take anything that happened during pandemic times off the table because that time was weird.
No, but it's valid, though. It's valid, right? Some people never leave their houses either. So mm-hmm. any of those things that we found exciting then, we don't necessarily find exciting now.
If I walked into my house right now and my dining room was in my family room,
oh my gosh.
Would be like, what is happening here to my husband? But if it was 2021, I'd be like, oh, this is where we're going to eat now? That's nice. Like,
what if your husband wanted you to cut his hair when you came home today? You were just like, yeah, cut my hair.
Remember that was normal?
Oh, yeah.
Gosh.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, man.
Trevor, Five Calls says it all. Is it weird to constantly rearrange furniture in your house?
I think so. I think, you know, the feng shui? You know, I think once you find the feng shui, once you find what works, I mean, unless you're buying new furniture, I don't understand continuing to move it around.
I think it's like renovation, and that's it, Anna, right? Like, we knocked down a wall. This house physically looks different than it used to. Seems different to me, right?
Once you find where the couch goes, I feel like I would just be walking into furniture all the time.
Right.
Marissa, Five Calls says it all. Is it weird to rearrange your furniture at your house all the time?
I don't think so, actually. I think that sometimes, you know, finding new ways to decorate your home, move things around, makes you feel refreshed, like there's something new and exciting going on. Like, think about it. You go on vacation so that, you know, you feel different. Think about, you can just do that at home with your own furniture and just kind of like, ooh, this is new now, you know?
There is something to be said for that. Like, if you really can't afford new furniture all the time, which most people can't. I mean, I don't even know who's constantly buying couches.
I mean, it just doesn't seem like a good way to run things financially. But I've been through a number of couches. But
it refreshes everything. It makes everything look new, even if it's not.
Yeah, I don't know. And then Raven, Rick, what do you think? Five Calls says it all. Is it crazy to rearrange your furniture all the time?
No, not at all. I think it's very normal. It's good to switch it up.
I mean, you're moving couches around your family room all the time? That's
right.
What you're doing?
When's the last time you moved your furniture in the living room?
Actually, a couple weeks ago.
Is that serious? I mean, if you lift up like where my coffee table is, you will see the indentions on the area rug that have been there for 13 years.
If you have any sort of floor covering, right, if you have an area rug, it's going to change colors,
right?
Basically. Like, your friends are going to come over and be like, wait a minute.
Like, why is this area lighter than that? Oh, because of sunlight. That's what it did.
The first time I walk in at 2 a.m. after a night out, oh, gosh, it's going to be bad.
Unfortunately.
But unbelievably,
Raven,
really.
Unbelievably, Raven, you're right. The votes go in their favor. It is totally normal to seasonally change where your furniture is laid out in your house.
Wait a minute. Would it be funny to knock myself out coming home late at night?
How long should it take for you to pull out of a parking space when someone is waiting for that spot?
I was at Costco the other day, and listen, so I am, you know, patiently going up and down the alleys looking for a parking space. I find a woman who's unloading her stuff. She looks very pleasant. She's going relatively quickly, putting the stuff in. I've got the blinker on, and I'm there. So she can get in her car, settle in her seat, put on her seatbelt, you know, maybe adjust her mirrors, set the phone up, whatever it may be. I expect 60. 90 seconds, something like that. You see some action. I mean, I'm telling you, this woman was in that seat for maybe 2.5 minutes. And I just had to sit there and wait.
So you believe.
And breathe.
Breathe it out. Okay, so Raven, you believe that it should not take a person more than 60 seconds to get into their seat and to get out of that spot.
1,000%.
Okay.
Easily.
We tested this yesterday. Each of us, me, Raven, producer John, and producer Sean, went to our cars and we got in and we timed it. First, John.
All right, so let's get out of here. It's a hot day. I'll keep the door open while I do all of this stuff. First, you got to look up where I'm going. And let's get that in. Okay, that's good to go. We'll pop that right there. There you go.
Starting route to 16 Jetland Place. You can ask Siri to report any crashes or hazards you see along the way.
Bye.
Proceed to the route, then turn left.
It took John exactly 26 seconds to get his car ready and to go. How about Sean?
I feel like he dilly-dallied, too.
Mm-hmm. So typically, when I get in my car, all my stuff goes in the back. I start my car as normal, if I can find the button. Seatbelt, always safety first. Mainly because my car won't shut up if I don't put my seatbelt on. I'm going to look up something in my GPS now. Actually, I'm just going to go ahead and look up, let's just say my house. Okay, that was the wrong.
This car's loud.
That's probably what takes me the longest. I'm always hitting the wrong buttons. So I got my GPS ready. I'm going to go ahead and pull up YouTube and put something on because I'm bougie like that. Maybe a podcast or something I haven't heard in a while or something I've been meaning to listen to.
Little self-indulgent.
And then I'm good to go.
He's 51 seconds. Yeah. 51 seconds it takes him to leave.
I mean, he did a whole lot of talking during that situation, too. Like, anything could have happened right there, right?
And here's me.
I mean, he's the actual person that let his car warm up, too. Do you do that? I never do that.
No,
I just start it and go.
Right, yeah, seriously. Yeah. Wasn't that a 1985 thing? I thought we got rid of that.
I mean, you're a mom carrying a ton of stuff. How long did it take you?
Okay, so I'm getting in my car. I have to find my sunglasses. Got them. Put them on. Put my purse in my bag on the passenger seat. Putting on my seatbelt. Close the car door. Turn on the car. Take a swig of water. Set my nav to where I'm going. Let's see. I'll put my house. There it is. That's it. And we'll go.
47 seconds for me.
Oh my gosh. Here we go. All business.
Okay, go ahead and time me. I'm not even going to rush this whatsoever. And even though I know exactly where I'm going, I always use my GPS. So, cup in the holder, coat on the seat, bag in the seat, phone in the holder, start the car, plug in the phone. I even put the sunglasses on, and I'm away. If I didn't beat 30 seconds, I don't know what's what.
So, Raven did 24 seconds. I did 47, 26 for John. Sean was the longest person, 51 seconds, but every single person, you're right, Raven, did it in under a minute. So when you're pulling out of a spot, you should give yourself a 1 minute time limit.
Was she taking a nap? Mm-hmm. I don't know what she was doing.
How would you feel if you weren't invited to your daughter's wedding?
Ooh, that is hurtful.
Last Friday, actually, it started on Thursday.
Yeah.
Thursday, my daughter came home and she told me she had to wear a dress to kindergarten on Friday. And I said, why? Because, you know, Friday she usually makes a huge mess and it's gym day. So why would you want to wear a dress?
I mean, you don't dress great on Fridays.
All right. Everybody dresses down on Fridays. And she explained to me that there was something very special happening the following day. A wedding.
Yeah.
Her wedding.
Oh.
Actually.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. So Friday comes and goes and she gets in the car after pickup. And this is what happens. Dakota, what happened today at school?
I had to marry a boy.
You had to marry a boy today? Today there was a wedding at school?
Yeah.
How did you pick which boy to marry?
He'd been nice to me, and I found friends with him a different day. We want to marry.
He was nice to her, and they found friends together on a different day, and they want to marry.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah, makes complete sense.
It's a great courtship.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you guys get married at school?
In Dakota Center.
In the what center?
Dakota.
In the Dakota Center?
Yeah.
What's the Dakota Center?
It's where, like, we marry people.
I mean, this can't be a real thing, right? They don't have an area at the school called the Dakota Center.
So ironically, my daughter is she's a lot, and she's very spirited and she's strong willed. And there's different centers at the school. I found this out because my niece is also in the class.
Okay.
So my niece clarified what was happening.
Yeah.
Because I was like, how can there be a Dakota Center in the classroom? That doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Dakota was upset that all the other centers had things that she didn't want to do. She created her own center in the classroom where people can come, but they have to play whatever Dakota wants to play.
I mean, of course, obviously, she's the queen of this area. Is the teacher has approved this center area?
I'm sure.
Seems crazy.
Not. I'm sure that the teacher's unaware of the Dakota Center where people can only play what Dakota wants.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Yeah.
How did the wedding go?
Good.
And so what happened after you guys got married?
Well, we fell down. After he married, he picked me up.
Why did he pick you up?
Because we were marrying and that was a peace.
Apparently,
that's part of it.
The kids believe that after you're married, you have to pick each other up.
Oh, well, I mean,
what?
Metaphorically speaking,
I'm
yes.
Like, I was trying to figure literally. It out. But like, it has to be like carrying over the threshold.
Yeah,
but
okay, it could be that, right.
But how do five-year-olds know that? That's such an old thing, right?
Well, I mean, they both fell down, so I mean, they don't know it greatly, but yeah.
She told me afterwards, I was too heavy. He just fell right down. I'm like, oh my gosh.
You've had a boyfriend at school all year, you've been telling me. Do you think he's going to be sad?
No, he wasn't there today.
So one day your boyfriend's not there and you marry another boy?
Yes.
How about when he goes back to school on Monday?
I won't tell him.
That's illegal in some states.
This
all right?
poor boy yeah. has been sitting with her at the nut-free table all year.
All year.
He's also nut-free. And they've created such a bond over their nut-freeness. Oh, and now...
It's going to be so hurtful.
One day he's absent. And she marries the other boy in class.
Scorpion woman.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
And then.
Well, congratulations on your wedding. I would have liked to have been invited. I'm your mommy.
But you can't go to school.
You can't go to school, crazy
yeah.
mommy.
Yeah, nobody nuts. Enters the Dakota Center except those that I say.
But the funny part is I was thinking about it because it happens. Like the kids that you have crush on in elementary school that you pretend marry when you're in kindergarten. Mm. You end up together in the long run sometimes.
I mean, not all of them. Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
Big news from my five-year-old.
I had to marry a boy.
She got married in kindergarten on Friday, and she's a married woman now.
It's crazy, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, but things happen really, really fast. And when you know, you know.
Yes. But has it ever happened to you? Like, your childhood sweetheart, you ended up with them in the long run from elementary school, middle school, high school. 1-800-330-9999. Nicole.
I did. My high school sweetheart, we're married for almost 21 years, and we're together 29 years on June 27th.
Wow. I mean, that's quite a time. So what? Yeah. How old were you exactly when you started dating?
So my husband was 17, I was 18. I was just graduating. He was a junior. I just went to go visit my old school. He had been like where I had used to go to school. And I saw him and I was like, wow, he's really attractive. And then a mutual friend kind of got us together. And we've been together ever since 1995.
Wow.
Going back to the high school to pick up the boys.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Then.
Yeah, right.
Woo!
Yeah, so pretty exciting. And it's been amazing since. So still super in love.
That's awesome. Oh, congratulations.
Hey, Laurel, you married your childhood sweetheart? Tell us the story.
Yes, so we actually kind of were little friends in fifth grade. I was a new girl in school, and his friends would bug him about liking the new girl, and I had a little crush on him as well. And we would talk here and there, but nothing really happened. And I would see him with a girlfriend in middle school, and then next thing you know it, we're getting married at the end of the year. So.
Oh.
Wait, wow.
You were the girlfriend. You killed her?
No, it wasn't really like, he doesn't call it a girlfriend. They just called it like holding hands, and one was a girl, one was a guy. So I don't know, but.
And after that, it was over.
We waited through school and everything and stuck that out through college. And now we're living together and getting married at the end of the year.
Oh, wow. See, that's nice.
See? When you know, you know.
Thanks for sharing.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much. Have a good one.
You too, Laurel. Jeff, how about you? You married your childhood sweetheart?
I did, yes. Actually, we were I was just a couple years older than her. I met her when I was in eighth grade. She was in sixth grade. I was friends with her brother. Her brother and I met in middle school. And it wasn't until high school, her and I started dating, which he did not enjoy. He's not a fan of, but I don't know. We won him over, and then we got married when we graduated.
Oh, wow. You don't hear about that so much anymore, like the high school sweethearts that get married right after graduation.
Well, people used to do it all the time before.
Yes,
heck, they
course.
Were getting married when they were 16 before, right? I mean, decades ago, years and years ago. It was a different world, obviously, too, and plenty of people had 11 siblings. So, you know, things are a little bit different nowadays. I think that we've kind of trained ourselves to wait until we really know. I mean, it seems so scary to us, right, to some people, but other people, when you hear, oh, well, we've been together 60 years, 65 years, how do those stories normally begin? Something like this.
Yeah, it's true. So. I mean, I got married young, too. Well, I mean, not that young. I was 24.
It's still pretty young, though.
Yeah. But when my parents got married, my mom was 19 and my dad was 18. Yeah.
Young.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people decided, you know, earlier on back then.
How fitting for Dumb Tuesday. They just released the top dating red flags America has been Googling.
Oh, if you see these, chances are there's a dumping coming up. It could be right around the corner.
Number five, double texting. That's when they send a follow-up text before you've even replied to the first one. I do this all the time. Am I a psychopath?
I do not care for that when people do that.
Oh, I do. To me, it's like a stream of thought. Like, I just like write one sentence and I keep going and I keep going.
No, I require that all in one text box. Thank you.
Oh my gosh, I'm a red flag. All right, number four, talking to an ex. It's a red flag if they're still friends with their exes.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, no, 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 we're not like that, blah, blah, blah. Shut up.
Number three, love bombing. It's not nice, Raven. Love bombing. That's when someone praises you or showers you with gifts early on, then turns psycho.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, I mean, we've all been in that. It's fun the first time you get that gift, but then you're like, wait a minute. Nope, this is going to be dangerous.
Top dating red flags America has been Googling. Number two, watching true crime. I think you just eliminated half the female base. Don't we all watch true crime right now?
No, I love that. I can settle in for that anytime.
Yeah, and the number one thing that's a top dating red flag for Americans is saying I love you too soon. They say anything less than a month is way too soon.
Yeah, I mean, you got to hold out. Sometimes, though, you feel it. It comes on strong.
When was the last time you were dumped or you dumped somebody else? 1-800-330-9999. Derek, were you the dumper or the dumpy?
I was dumped. This was way back. At the time, I didn't think it was that absurd. But now that I'm an adult, I look back and it's really absurd. I was dumped in high school by a girlfriend because she didn't understand why I wasn't jealous that she had male friends. Not that she was cheating on me, mm-hmm. that she had male friends. She said, why don't you get more passionate? Why aren't you jealous of it? Because I'm secure in who I am at 17, 18 years old. I guess she wanted me to fight for it, and she wanted drama. And I guess she was probably insecure at 18, 17 years old. I just thought it was absurd. It felt like a Seinfeld episode.
If your girlfriend wants you to be jealous of her male friends, I got news for you. One of them's not a friend. One of them ain't a friend, bro.
No, there's those girls that just love that drama. Like, why aren't you jealous? What, you're not going to fight him for me? Like, it's a very high school thing, but I'd be lying to say that doesn't carry on to some female adults,
dude,
too.
She was making out with one of them. Telling you right now.
Mm.
There was no physical activity. We were in high school. I would see them talking in the hall. Mm-hmm. And people would say, why don't you go up and then break them up? I thought, what?
I wonder if that still happens. I bet you it does. Allison, did you get dumped or did you dump somebody?
I had to dump my last boyfriend. We're just too opposite. He gets up early, even on the weekend, and he'll do like 20 things before I wake up. Like, he'll get coffee, he'll run really far, he'll do errands, he'll wash the car, he'll do everything before I wake up. And I can't handle that, so I had to break up with him. We're too opposite.
What was the biggest problem of it? Were these activities that you wanted to do together, things that you wanted to get done? Or are you just like, you know what, you're far and away a better person than I am, and I don't want to feel guilty every time I wake up at 11 o'clock?
He just wanted me to go with him. And yeah, he's definitely a better person in terms of getting up at like the crack of dawn and doing all these things before I wake up. I just want to chill and have a slow life.
Right. You know what? Fair enough, right? I mean, at least you're being honest.
Right, at least you know early on. You're like, right. I'm not going to be able to keep up with this, so yep. Let's just call it over.
Yeah, I'm out of this.
Yep. The number one red flag that Americans Google about dating somebody, whether or not they say, I love you too soon.
Yeah, that can be a scary thing, right? Even if you're liking somebody a whole lot, if they blurt it out right away, you're like, oh, you feel so trapped. We're funny animals.
They say that if they say it on the first date, you're in serious trouble. Well, yeah, no kidding.
Of course.
Yes. Dumped Tuesday. Why did you get dumped or who did you have to dump? 1-800-330-9999. Alana.
I got dumped by the guy's mom. She called.
No.
Come
explain
on.
Everything that happened.
Yeah, please. How old were you, first and foremost? That's what I need to know.
I think I was probably a sophomore in college.
Oh, my gosh.
And she said I'm a, quote, very... very nice girl, but I need to wax my eyebrows.
Oh, my.
His mother said this to you.
Yeah. And she said, I mean, you're a sweet girl, but anyway, I wanted to die from embarrassment.
I mean, she called you and said, you're a sweet girl, but my son is breaking up with you because you need to wax your eyebrows or just in general?
Yeah,
you know?
She's like, you have to get that taken care of. She like recommended someone.
Oh my gosh.
Don't worry, Alana. There's a special place in hell for her.
I mean,
don't
that
worry.
Is seriously yeah. rude. But at the same time, when you're dating a 15-year-old, you can expect their mom to call and handle their appointments.
I don't think when you're a sophomore in college, you're the 15-year-old.
How old was he?
He was older. older than me. He was older than me by five. He was older than me by like 2 years. So
that's insane.
I dodged a bullet, basically.
That's insane.
Imagine if she ended up being your mother-in-law.
Yeah.
Like, you dodged a bullet. Like, that was fantastic. Like, that was the best thing that could have happened for you, is for that relationship to end.
100% accurate.
100%.
Thanks for the call, Alana.
Thanks, Alana.
And full eyebrows are in.
Yes.
I have bushy ones. Thank you. Well,
yes.
They're not bushy, but they are.
I've been trying to grow mine back for the last 15 years.
I'm trying to get this edge back over here. I just want that edge.
Patty, how about you? Were you dumped, or did you dump somebody else?
Oh, I dumped somebody else. I definitely judged a book by its cover here. As I got closer to this person, I realized he shaved his entire body, like entire body, pits, everything. And I don't know, just something about, like, my boyfriend possibly having smoother legs than me, I couldn't handle it.
Oh, boy.
I got news for you. It's a little bit weird for me, too. And the only exceptions being is, like, you know, you gotta go into a wind tunnel for some reason, right? Or you're a professional swimmer.
Right, no, you're an Olympic swimmer. It's literally the only reason why you shave your entire body.
Right. Sean, our producer,
right,
he shaves his armpits.
Yeah, I wonder why.
He doesn't really have an explanation.
Well, where is he? Come in here. Let's ask him. Sean, come here.
Sean, come here for a minute.
Please run.
Could you explain to us again? It's perfect that he's wearing a sleeveless shirt, too.
Raise your arms.
Could you explain to us again why it is that you shave your armpits?
It started as a joke way back in high school because all the swim kids used to do it. So all the track people used to make fun of them by shaving our underarms.
Who knew there was a rivalry between track and swim?
Weird.
They had to ridicule each other.
And I honestly just got comfortable with it. And another reason why I kept it up is because, like, you ever seen those dudes walking around who just have way too much underarm hair?
Yes.
Where it's like sticking out like under the arm. Like, that's not attractive. I don't want that to be me.
He just figured he would never let it get that way by never allowing there to be any stubble.
Exactly.
On. Sean, how many tank tops do you own?
Oh, God, I'd probably say half my wardrobe is tank tops. At least like 20 or 30.
You wear more tank tops than any man that I've ever met in my entire life.
Yeah.
And my grandfather went a majority of his adult life only wearing those white tank tops.
You know, I don't think I have the body for tank tops, but it's all about confidence, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Closest thing to shirtless that I could get when I'm at work.
You think it's okay?
I mean, yeah.
How often do you shave those pits?
Once or maybe twice a week.
Wow, okay.
So it's a commitment.
All right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right. Wow. Not the man for her. Not the man for her.
Yeah.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Steve and Lucy. Lucy, let's start with you. What's going on?
So we're engaged, scheduled to get married in the fall, and I thought it would be a really great idea to have people be able to bring their dogs with them because it's outside and it's in a vineyard. It's like super casual and unique and make people feel really comfortable.
Okay.
All right. I'm guessing, Steve, you must feel differently then.
Yeah. They're dogs. This is a terrible idea. It's going to be utter chaos. I mean, we're not allowing children for a reason. And then she wants to bring dogs, which are worse than children because they're, you know, you can't control them. They're going to run amok. It's going to be a mess. It's not like if it was just like one dog, it's just our dog. Okay. You run down the aisle, but it's going to be all dogs.
I have a lot of questions.
Horrible idea.
Let me start with the obvious question. Is that, will the venue allow animals to be there?
Yeah. They've not had it been done before, but they were really open to it, and they seemed really excited about it. We're bringing out, we have two dogs, and they're going to be in our ceremony. They're basically our ring bearers. A lot of our friends' dogs are really trained.
Listen, it sounds like a fun day, everybody having their dogs out and, you know, when you were at the park or something like that. But when you have a wedding, how are you going to really have dancing, right? Because people are going to have to watch their animals, you know, even if they are well-behaved. Those parts aren't important to you. Then I guess it's not the worst idea, but have you thought really about that?
Yeah, exactly. I don't understand how they're going to be there the whole time. I don't know. We have our two dogs, and that's, I think, very cute and adorable idea, but everyone, it's going to take the focus off you. I mean, if that's what you want, your day.
You can see what the audience has to say, because they may agree with you, Lucy. It's a fun idea. I mean, I've certainly never been to a wedding where dogs were invited. It would be a first.
I want to think about you and your husband going, and then you guys bringing Lila and her having diarrhea.
her anxiety diarrhea.
But I don't know.
But here's the thing. Place. I think people know their pets. So, like, I know Lila, my dog, is a high anxiety, fearful dog. I could never bring her to a public anything like this. But, like, I know my dog, so I would think that you would know your dog well enough to know whether or not they're going to behave at a wedding or not.
You know what? The dog is also a great excuse to get out if you want to get out quick. That's just my food for thought, though. A
lot of water bowls. I don't know. All right, let's see what the audience has to say. They may agree with you, Lucy. Awesome idea. They may see Steve's side, too. I mean, it's a sweet idea, but not appropriate for a wedding.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Steve and Lucy are getting married, and they already made a decision equally that they don't want children at the wedding. No big deal. Everybody was on the same page with that. But Lucy has an idea. It's at a vineyard under a tent. She got permission from the venue. She wants guests to bring their dogs. She thinks it'll be so great. They're both big animal lovers.
Yeah, their animals are already going to be in the ceremony. They're going to kind of be their de facto ring bearers. And she says, we love animals. Everybody can bring their animals there. But Steve thinks, listen, this is a wedding. It's cool for our dogs to come. But come on, everybody else, they're there to celebrate.
What do you think? Is it cool to have your guests bring their dogs to a wedding? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven.
No, it's distracting from the bride, and there could be any kind of issues.
So you're going to be on the husband's side on this one, then? You're with Steve?
Yes, I am.
I mean, the photos are great. I get it. And I love my dogs. I mean, I'd love to have them there, of course, but at some point, I know that I'm going to be taking care of them more than I am taking care of my wife or taking care of the party or my guests.
Yeah, what do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. Steve and Lucy are getting ready for their wedding. Now, they both agreed on one thing, no kids at the reception. But Lucy has a great idea. Since they're such big animal lovers, why don't they invite their guests with their dogs? The vineyard where they're hosting the event even agreed.
Their dogs are going to be part of the ceremony. They've got two. Steve thinks that's more than enough, though. We don't need to invite everybody else's animals on site. It'll just turn into chaos. After all, this is a wedding reception. We're here to party.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court.
Side. I mean, I have two dogs, and I think he has a good point. It's their day, and it's not about the dogs. It's about them. And plus, you know what? Dogs poop, and you got to clean it up. And is everybody going to be responsible? And everybody's dressed up, and no one wants to step on a turd. And begging at the tables, and it's going to get out of control.
I do like the idea of, instead of favors, you give out personal doggy cleanup bags, like with the bride's face and name, you know, on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Raven, whose side are you on?
Guy's side. My son is getting married in Maine on Arcadia Mountain, and he's bringing his dogs because they're in the wedding party, but he said no other dogs. It'd be too crazy.
Yeah, and I mean, at some point, typically the dogs leave. So, I mean, you do the wedding ceremony, they're there for the ceremony, and then usually they go. Even if they don't, just a couple of them that belong to you, that's one thing.
And on Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on the husband's side. You know, all it takes is one dog to step in something that, you know, they shouldn't be stepping in and jump on the white dress. And it's a problem for everyone, I feel like.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Steve, our audience agreed with you. Lucy, your heart's in the right place, and it's a really cool idea, but maybe for the rehearsal dinner and not the wedding ceremony.
Thank you.
Okay, yeah, maybe that would work.
You gonna be all right with that?
Yeah, I think so. We'll still have our dogs there, and maybe you're right. They can come to the rehearsal dinner. Like, we'll make it super casual.
There was so much disappointment in my dogs' faces, Anna, when they realized that we had had the vow renewal without them.
Aww.
Yep, they were very upset.
Yeah.
They were upset.
If you have a problem, too, send an email, couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven Cash jackpot is $3,100 thanks to BetterHelp. This program is sponsored by BetterHelp. They make it easy to match with a licensed therapist. Get 10% off your first month of online therapy at betterhelp.com/Anna and Raven. All right, Margaret, ready to play today?
I'm ready.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, leave the room.
You got it. Good luck, Margaret.
Thank you.
Okay. Raven's walking out of here. When that door closes, he won't be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 questions, all pop culture. You have 3 seconds to answer each one, Margaret. He'll come back in. Same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. You ready to play?
Ready.
Number 1, Steve Buscemi was punched in a random attack while walking in New York City. This comes a month after his co-star, Michael Stuhlbarg, was also attacked in the city in Central Park. They both worked together on what HBO show?
Boardwalk Empire.
Number 2, ABC's The Conners was canceled and it will end with a shortened season 7. The Conners was a revival of what TV series?
Roseanne.
Number 3, Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie will star in a new reality show together. They appeared on what early 2000s show together?
The Simple Life.
Number 4, fans are super confused because Gavin Rosdale's new girlfriend looks exactly like his ex-wife. So much so that even Hoda said he definitely has a type. Who's his ex-wife?
Gwen Stefani.
At number 5, Tiana's Bayou Adventure has an opening date at Magic Kingdom in Disney World. Is it Bayou or Bayou? I get this wrong every single time. Bayou Adventure, right? Anyway, it's June 28th. Princess Tiana is from what Disney movie? That's time. Oh, gosh!
Princess and the Frog?
Gosh, it's too late! Gosh, I wanted that! All right, let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
Oh. Yeah.
Y'all right in here?
Yeah.
Oh.
4 out of 5 for Margaret.
Oh, I mean, that's pretty good. Let's
I
go.
Know,
here we go.
But I wanted her to get that last one. Darn it. Number 1, Steve Buscemi was punched in a random attack while walking in New York City.
This
comes a month after his co-star, Michael Stuhlbarg, was also attacked in the city. They both worked together on what HBO show?
Boardwalk Empire. Michael Stuhlbarg chased that dude down. You know Steve Buscemi was a firefighter on 9/11?
Yes. Like
that, I mean, people, give respect.
I don't know why this is a thing right now.
It's happening all over the place. It happened to Bethany Frankel. It's happening to people all over the place. It's happening to a lot of women.
It's terrible. Number 2, ABC's The Conners was canceled and will end with a shortened season 7. I didn't know anybody was watching that still.
Nobody is. Nobody has been.
Right. The Conners was a revival of what TV series?
Roseanne.
Yes. Number 3, Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie will star in a new reality show together. They appeared on what early 2000s show together?
The Simple Life.
Yes.
That's hot.
I loved that show, and I'm here to see them as moms because, you know, they both have young kids, and I want to see it.
And you know what? Honestly, knowing so much more about them, like, they're just far more interesting than anybody thought.
Fans are super confused because Gavin Rosdale's new girlfriend looks exactly like his ex-wife. So that even Hoda said that he definitely has a type.
I mean, so he likes blondes with, you know, athletic builds.
And red lipstick.
I mean, is that nobody on the planet? That's Taylor Swift. That's a million other women on the planet.
I mean, she looks a lot like her. Who's his ex-wife?
Gwen Stefani.
Yes. At number 5, Tiana's Bayou Adventure. Is it Bayou or Bayou? I get it wrong every time. Bayou. Tiana's Bayou Adventure has an opening date at Magic Kingdom in Disney World.
Oh, it looks exciting.
June 28th. Very exciting. Princess Tiana is from what Disney movie?
Princess and the Frog.
Yes. All right, Margaret, here's the good news. You would have tied him anyway with 5. So that's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
It's Margaret and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $3,200 tomorrow, Anna.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.